Empire's Worth It, Season 4, Episode 6, Sandwiches. This is Worth It, Star Wars AU, created by Opal Song
and Rena Jenkins.
This is recorded and created for Cantarina for ITPE
2018.
Awesome. Long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there lived two boys.
The end.
Sorry. And these two men were sent on a mission by some Imperial guy. By the Imperial propaganda machine.
Yes. Sorry.
They were sent on a mission.
Imperial News Network.
They were sent on a mission by the Imperial News Network to find the best restaurants at all the prices. And thus, Worth It Space was born.
Yes.
Andrew and Steven are on their way to their first... What episode are we doing?
Fuck.
What if we want Drax? Dax?
Dax's Diner? Diner?
Yeah, if we want Dax's Diner, what kind of food would we get there?
Well, it's a diner, so you can get everything. The Gorba Melt is famous in
Is that like a sandwich?
It's like like a tuna melt, basically.
Okay, we're doing sandwiches.
Food. Yes.
Okay. They are on there. This is season 4, episode 6. Sandwiches. We open on Andrew and Steven in the front seat of a small Imperial cruiser.
Oh, I'm so excited about this that I don't even...
And they're chatting. Adam is in the seat behind them with his camera equipment and just sort of looking down. They're chatting. So... And I'm really bad at improv.
Yes.
So there will not be any improv here. Unless you want to improv.
So the theme of this week's episode is sandwiches, food stuff found across the galaxy. Whether you live in the highest levels of the Imperial City or you're the lowest levels of the Gungan settlement on Naboo, sandwiches are a thing across the galaxy. We're going to try three different sandwiches at three drastically different price points. And today's first stop.
You have to say, and see which one is.
Oh, and see which one is worth it.
No, I have to say worth it.
I'm sorry.
That's how it goes.
Okay. We're going to try three different sandwiches at three different restaurants, three different points across the galaxy at three drastically different price points, and see which one is...
Worth it. Isn't it great? Okay, so cut two. They are at... Dex's Diner is going to be
point
number one.
Yeah.
So, a $1 sign appears...
Do they talk about the history of the restaurant?
Yes.
A little bit? Okay.
Yeah. So, a $1 sign appears on the screen, and next thing you know, we cut to the outside of a...
Kind of dilapidated looking, somewhat dated looking, possibly 3 or 4 decades old diner. You can see that the city has grown up around it, and it is, in fact, the highest point with everything else above it being empty space. It's like the buildings have grown up around this.
Yes.
You can tell that this building is an institution.
Stephen and Andrew stand outside and go, "Hey, we're here in the Imperial Center.
Home of everyone's most beloved emperor and the Imperial Senate just up the block." Or, well, not really. The entirety of Imperial City is one block. It's hard to find directions around here. Do they ever make jokes about, like, not being able to find where they're going?
They could. They also make terrible puns.
Fuck, I love terrible puns.
So, we're here at Dex's Diner to try their galaxy-famous Gorba Melt. I'm so excited.
He does facts, right? He does like...
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
We have an interior shot. The booths across the diner look well-loved. It doesn't look like it's been remodeled since at least 20 years prior to the rise of our glorious empire. This is the kind of place that has history. You can look at the back wall with... it's one of those, like, boards that's got "finish this blah 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 win a free t-shirt." There's photos of senators, Hollow News stars, even one or two wanted posters for the Jedi. This restaurant knows what it's doing.
So, interspersed between them sitting down and getting their Gorba melts, are interviews with Dex himself. Is he still there? We're going to pretend he's still
there.
Okay.
And that he...
would talk to two Imperial troopers and be part of this show.
It's absolutely, like, he's been here since day one. Dex is as much a part of Imperial City as the Imperial Palace itself. And that's a dig because that used to be the Jedi Temple.
Okay. And also, Dex talks to the boys about how to make a Gorba melt. What goes into a Gorba melt?
It's really helpful.
Why is a Gorba melt the best sandwich that you can get on this side of the rim?
It's really helpful to have forearms. And as a basilisk, Dex, we think, or something about how, as a basilisk, Dex's forearms are integral to making this sandwich the sandwich. It's got a lot of steps. Something like that.
Yeah.
There's a joke about forearms in there.
Yeah. Okay. And then we get to the tasting portion. So they sit in a booth.
They're sitting on the same side of the booth.
Oh, yes. They're sitting beside each other in the booth.
Part of the booth looks like the springs come up a little bit, so they're both slid to the side, pressed up against each other.
And they have two Gorba melts, one in front of each of them, and they have a does... They asked earlier whether Dex's Diner has a particular beverage
accompaniment. All right.
And so they have whatever was recommended to them.
Okay.
In front of them, and then... they both take a breath. They pick up this sloppy, sloppy sandwich.
Like an open-faced sandwich with like a ground meat covered in cheese.
Okay, why don't you do the food porn version of that description?
It's an open-faced slice of... It's not actually artisanal shit. It's a diner. This is probably mass-produced bread in a factory on the lower level.
Not if... they're... yeah, I mean, maybe. They're... often the restaurants they do,
like even we make this in-house?
Or, like, we know the bakery down the street.
Okay. All right.
Like, and even at sort of the diner level, or they just sort of don't...
they don't mention it.
...the bread.
Okay.
But anyway, it's a nice...
it's a plate.
Thick...
it's a plate-sized slab of bread covered in the most delicious-smelling mixed meats combo. We asked Dex what his secret recipe was, and he wouldn't tell us what meat went into it. That's how he keeps it secret. Not because you can't tell what it is. It's covered in the most gloriously broiled piece of cheese. It does that thing when you pick it up and you break it. The cheese stretches. It does that.
Oh,
it does that.
It looks so good.
Who takes a bite first?
We cheers it.
Ah!
So they each pick up.
But you've got to use two hands because at this point it is a little bit too warm still. It's a little bit soft. It's a little bit too messy for just the one.
So each of them picks it up with two hands.
Like a baby.
And then gently nudges it against each other. Dink. That is not yet.
And it's a bread sound. It's like more like a...
Anyway, they go, cheers. And then they each take a large bite.
You can tell that... who's a messier eater?
It doesn't really come up because they're both very much like take a bite and then like...
make a noise,
process.
Have a face.
Process. Like it's very much a food show.
Okay. So you can see the contemplation across Andrew's face as he chews, swallows, savors. Possibly it reminds him of his childhood. I don't know. I don't know what his childhood is.
So they react. They react, and at first they don't really react at all. They're kind of a little stunned. And then Stephen lets out a small moan. And and Andrew sort of looks at him and chews a little more and swallows and is like, that's really good. And then there's some more banter about the cheesiness of the situation and the cheesiness of the bread and just in general how good it is and like how like it's really, really good and super close to the Imperial Center. Like, all hail our glorious emperor.
It's the kind of food that you could get to go, but you want to take a moment and sit anyway. It would be just as good in a box on your way back to, you know, the whatever job. But you want to take that moment to savor it. Even though the atmosphere isn't quite what you would expect, it's got history, which makes it intriguing.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that maybe you'd pass over it at first glance, but...
you should really, really go here.
Take a second look.
Yes. Okay. And so then we cut to Adam quietly sitting in the booth. He's got his entire one. He picks it up and he takes the most massive bite out of it you've ever seen. You could swear half the Gorbamelt goes in his mouth at once. You're like, how the fuck did he do that?
Yeah, and hinges his jaw.
And chews super quietly before smiling a little and nodding.
Nice.
Cut to them outside. No, cut to them back in their cruiser? Back in their small cruiser. Again, Adam is sitting in the back. In one of the
behind
the
scenes.
He's
got his sound equipment, right?
He's got his, like, sound equipment looking down. And the two of them are bantering back and forth about how good that was and just sort of general banter. There's probably a plug for our glorious Imperial Emperor, all hail the blah, blah, blah.
There's probably something about, like, Empire Day is in 17 centides. What are your plans? Come visit Imperial Palace. Fireworks at every level. You know, like travelogue.
Yeah. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Because that's the propaganda part that they have to...
that they are required to do. You can tell that they're quite forced.
Yeah.
When they do that. But also, they give it their all. They
do not want to get canceled.
They do not want to get canceled. Canceled as a euphemism. And what we didn't tell you is that what doesn't get shown on the show is that they actually spent a couple extra days or a couple extra hours at Dex's diner and accidentally left all their supplies there.
You would be wondering why they were traveling with some of these items. But you know what? Filming in remote and dangerous locations, there's a rebel threat out there. Sometimes you need to be armed. Sometimes you need an entire crate full of detonator caps. You don't know. They're not arms dealers.
Yeah.
You don't know.
But then, we cut to Sandwich Fact! So, do you want to know a thing about Imperial sandwiches?
Oh, fuck, hang on. I know something about this, too.
Oh man, if you actually know something about Imperials, I'm just gonna go grab my water bottle.
Yeah. Did you know the Naboo Sardine Fritter on Toast is our glorious Emperor Palpatine's favorite food from his homeworld?
Oh my god.
But it's not a sandwich.
That, you know, if we had thought of that, but if we knew that beforehand, they totally would have been doing fritters.
They would have been doing, yeah.
Bonus fact, did you know that Emperor Palpatine's... Oh, that's... Dude, they're going to do fritters next episode. So they'll do a little thing
they'll
at the
end. They'll do a plug at the end.
Okay. Okay, so...
Popularized during the Clone Wars about 15 years ago, veg meat is a type of protein found on all worlds. Open-faced sandwiches, grilled sandwiches, roasted and stuck between all sorts of shit. Words, fuck, I'm losing it. Something about how the kinds of sandwiches on all different worlds that are influenced by the Clone Wars and the ration packs left behind by the clones.
Oh, neat.
Yes. Something about that. Whole new cuisine that popped up, including a certain type of sandwich that was great on the go.
Awesome. So, our next location. Where's our next location, Rena?
I'm thinking, since I don't know other kinds of sandwiches off the top of my head, they're just getting the traditional gorba melt at three different spots, but the meat that they're using is different.
I would say different sandwiches, but we could just make up.
Okay.
Like, let's just pick a restaurant, just any restaurant you want that seems sort of mid-price.
Okay.
We're talking like if that was like a $5 sandwich, we're talking like a $20 sandwich. No.
So it comes with sides.
Yeah, so this sandwich would probably be... No, this sandwich would be like a $15 sandwich.
Okay.
Like, $15 on its own, or like, yeah, $20 with like sides and that sort of stuff.
Okay.
This is a fancier sandwich. Like, if the last one was a diner...
So it's
this
artisanal
is,
bread,
yes.
Some kind of fancy animal meat, comes with a dressing and like... You know,
yes. It's the fancy, it's the one that you go to the like local bistro to get.
Okay.
And it costs more. Yeah.
All right.
That's this kind of sandwich.
At the heart of Corellia City, right? Is that the name of the capital in Corellia? Fuck it.
It'll be Corellia City now.
The heart of Corellia City, there is a new place that's come up. It's sort of making the news for being a new restaurant in a part of Corellia City that hasn't had a lot of restaurant development. It's someplace that's still got a tasting menu. They specialize in locally sourced foodstuffs, which is weird and great because Corellia is known as a manufacturing plant. They're not known as a farm-type destination. Words that make sense right there. Corellia is known for its manufacturing and shipbuilding. It's not really known for its agriculture or hot cuisine. But this particular place serves a... close your eyes and scroll through Wikipedia. A sweet bread-like food produced by the saurian species native to Lwek. Fuck that noise. I can't pronounce it. It starts with
anyway.
They make a particularly delicious sandwich, basically the size of Adam's head.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And this sandwich is only our second price point. Wow. Okay, so Adam is obviously behind the camera because he's not on screen. And Steven and Andrew are standing in front of... What does it look like?
It looks like what you'd expect a restaurant on Imperial City to look like, which stands out among the more industrialized buildings of the shipyards that are, you know, off into the distance in both directions. This is the kind of place that has napkins that match the tablecloths. It is, in fact, a place that has tablecloths.
Yeah. Yeah. So they walk inside and they're greeted.
There's a hostess.
They get sat and
this is the kind of place that's trying. They want to be more than what their surroundings are. There's possibly some kind of like art fixture on the walls. There's some mood lighting. There is an open bar at the back. Are they getting cocktails?
They can get cocktails.
They're going to get a cocktail because they are boys on the Imperial Dime and they're getting day drunk.
Neither of these boys are the guy. Neither of these are Eugene Lee, okay? Okay, but, and again, intercut with them being seated and talking about kind of what their thoughts are on the place and whatever. They talk to the chef slash proprietor of this restaurant.
Okay.
About what goes into the sandwich and how this place is
important. Do they talk about the community outreach program that this chef does?
He
does a lot of, because the Corellian Shipyards, while a place of great manufacturing capability for the glory of our empire.
Hail the
Imperial Navy. Like, here we go. Hoorah.
Hoorah.
We do have a significant problem with homeless children. There are a lot of kids sleeping rough, and as much as the Imperial, Board of Family Services gives back to the community, sometimes the best way to help the community is to give back yourself. We donate 3% of every uncooked meal to the local children. Something like that. Something that sounds like low enough that the Imperials aren't going to be
mad about it?
Right. But enough that they can still contribute to...
Right.
It's as much about providing locally sourced artisanal food as it is giving back and building the community for these kids.
So even though we're a new establishment, we feel the need, like, we feel like this is our community.
Yes.
And we really, really want to be part
of
this community.
We don't want to go anywhere anytime soon.
Okay, so they get their sandwich. It is the most gorgeous club sandwich that you have seen.
Yes.
Two gorgeous pieces of bread with just like the pockmarks so that you know there's stuff in there.
Oh.
And then on this bread, you know that there's some sort of sauce. We were told about this sauce. It's something that neither Rena nor I can pronounce.
Starts with a Q.
No, that's the bread. This sauce is something that neither boy can pronounce either, that neither Stephen nor Andrew can pronounce. They tried and were basically laughed out of the kitchen.
Told Nessa that you could spread it. Don't say it.
Though the chef did say that Andrew said it better. running joke.
He's going to keep that up for the rest of the episode, isn't he?
Yeah. And then on top of that, there is a gorgeous thin layer of bacon from some sort of animal.
Oh.
It's crisp, and you can just tell that it is fresh off the
hot surface.
It looks
like it should still be sizzling.
It might actually still be sizzling.
Adam is doing some glorious camera work here.
Yeah, there is
slow pan.
Some crisp greens on top of that.
Oh. And it's important in the arrangement of the sandwich ingredients. Possibly, Stephen takes a minute to talk about how in a really well-designed sandwich, every bite you take has the equal distribution of all things. And that while they were watching Chef Whoever build this sandwich, you could really tell by his care in laying down each layer of ingredients that when you bite in, you're going to have that full mouth experience.
And on top of all of this gloriousness, it is, in fact, the size of Stephen's head. It takes up the entire plate. In fact, at first, Stephen thinks that the plate is smaller than a normal plate because the sandwich is so big, but that is not actually the case. So, both boys sort of...
Does he duck down on the table and then Andrew measures across the top?
Yes.
To see whose head
I was thinking size of Andrew's head, like, around.
Yeah, but, like, he's next to it, and he's, like, going like this, like, look, they're the same.
No, like if you put the sandwich up like this, like, it's a round sandwich.
Oh, okay, like it's a tall sandwich.
It's a tall sandwich. Right. Like
I definitely
round
know my directions between up and down and side to side. I know the difference.
Okay. Can we go with a round sandwich?
Yes.
Large sandwich?
Yes.
Okay, so... So they're there, and each boy takes a sip of their artisanal cocktail because they each got a different one.
Yes, they did. One of them is probably called something like
like, Sunrise?
Corellian Sunrise, and one
that
of
is
them,
definitely Stevens.
And that one's got like the glorious gradient. It's mostly some kind of syrup, and it's got a little bit of brandy or something in there. It's sweet as all hell.
And the other one is actually a craft beer.
I like it.
Andrew's is a craft beer.
I like it.
And so they each take a sip, and then they marvel over that just a little bit, mm-hmm. and they put it down. And then they
Do
look
they
at the sandwich.
Split the sandwich?
Then they look at the sandwich. And yes, there's only one sandwich.
Okay.
They look at the sandwich and just sort of pause. And then there's some banter about how they can't actually figure out how to eat this sandwich because it's too big.
It's too big, and you don't want to smush it because that destroys the work that went into the proper layering.
Yes.
You'll squish things out the sides.
Eventually one of the staff bring over like a fork and knife and kind of laugh at them.
Look at these off-worlders.
Yeah. Anyway, they cut the sandwich in two, and then each of them pick up their half, almost like a sub sandwich like that.
Do they cheers?
Oh, they cheers the tips. and then they each take a bite, and then there's again that chewing, you know,
right,
the glorious
the face,
shots
the,
of
the delicious
chewing, and
like...
then you notice that Andrew's eyes get a little wide, and Steven's whole face kind of lights up. And both of them are just, and then they rave about the food for a bit, which I don't have, whatever.
And then they talk a little bit about the pairing.
Yes.
Because maybe he went with the craft beer because it's a...
Well, no, mostly they go with the, they don't actually talk about the pairing.
They don't talk about like how the flavors go well together?
Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't.
It's just, oh, hey, I have a thing. It's a good thing. And now
yeah, sometimes
it.
Okay. It's like you're known for this and you're known for this, not you're known for these things together.
Gotcha.
Sometimes not.
Does Adam get a drink?
No.
Sorry, Adam. You're just the cameraman.
He does. He does, however, because they eat quite a bit of this sandwich. And then we cut to Adam behind the same table that they were behind. And they put an even bigger sandwich down in front of him.
Yes.
And he just kind of whats at the camera. And you get a couple shots of him eating this sandwich.
Nice.
Nice. Okay, so then, we've been going for.
We're doing this. Is great. They get back to the
cruiser,
and they're talking a little bit about how full they are.
How full?
They're ready for like a nap,
which they can have. I mean, they have to get all the way over.
They've got autopilot. They can snuggle up on the back seat together.
Yeah, yeah.
Adam can drive for a little bit, and then you get to a shot of like,
oh my gosh, okay,
someone's asleep on the other one's shoulder.
Okay, yes. So they're like, I think we're gonna put this on autopilot because oh, we're so full. And then, cut to the next shot, which is Steven asleep on Andrew's shoulder, and it's very cute. And then Andrew goes, sandwich fat! And Steven just like...
just
loses it. And there's some sandwich fact about like...
Is it about the number of sandwiches eaten across the Imperial blah 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 every year would be the same number as the blah blah blah. Like, there's some sort of statistic about like... numbers of asteroids or something like that.
Yeah, I like it.
Like
that's the kind
like,
of thing.
Okay. You could go from you could circle Imperial Center 8 times with the number of sandwiches that, you know, like one of those like kind of infographics that look cute and cheesy. Something like that.
Only they just say it, but that works. Okay. And then we are off to our third destination. Now, this third destination is really, really, really special. You wouldn't think that it was the fanciest destination in the world. You wouldn't think that they have the most expensive sandwich that we could find in all of the glorious Imperial Empire.
Is it the personal chef for the royal family of Alderaan? It's so expensive, it's priceless, and it's literally because Bale's being blackmailed. This is the kind of thing that is so expensive, it's actually priceless.
Yes, that is, oh my gosh, that's so amazing because it ties in really well with the, they're actually going there because of the thing.
Yep.
Okay, yes, this sandwich is so expensive that we don't actually have a price for it. It's so expensive, it is priceless. You literally cannot buy this sandwich because this sandwich is made by the personal chef of the royal family of the old guard.
Of the royal house of Alderaan. Which...
What? We get to eat with royalty!
As our viewers
what?
Might know...
What?
The House of Alderaan has been a part of the Empire from day one. They have supported our glorious empire across the galaxy with acts of charity and philanthropy and pacifism. And with their last 800 years of pacifism, they've developed some amazing culinary delights. One of the only planets to still have a hereditary monarchy, even.
That is very interesting. Okay, and we get to go to a palace!
I wonder if they have gold on the toilet.
Fancy boy?
They have gold freshers.
Steven is a very happy fancy boy.
Aww.
Okay, so they end up at this, and here's the thing. Both of them are slightly disappointed because they don't actually end up at the palace.
No, it's not. It's like one of those, like, they're actually at a restaurant someplace in, like, Aldera City.
Yeah.
They don't get to visit the royal residence.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a shot of, like, the palace, like, in the background.
Yeah.
And they're standing in, like, a city center or something.
Yeah.
And they're meeting with the...
The chef.
The Imperial chef.
And then they talk with the chef a bit about, you know, Alderaan City and its great history with, not with the glorious Imperial Empire.
Not
all hail.
Rain.
But, like, just, like, about the food history of Alderaan and that sort of thing and how this particular chef got to be where they
yes.
are and got to be the chef to the Alderaan royal family.
She talks a little bit about Queen Brea. And talks a little bit about how you wouldn't expect it, but Queen Brea's favorite midnight snack is, I don't know, shroomy chips. Something like that. Something dumb. Something
but
like potato
this,
chips. Like...
This is Queen Brea's favorite sandwich.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And it turns out to be... So then they're, like, sitting down, and it's all, like, ooh, fancy.
Right. It's not in the palace, but it is, in fact, a very nice-looking dining room.
And they bring out this sandwich that it looks like a tuna melt. But here's the thing. Even though it's like two toasted pieces of bread cut into triangle, like cut like diagonally.
Into triangles? Into,
just the one diagonal
okay.
into the two triangles. And sort of, you know, piled like one half on the other.
Right.
So it looks all, you know, artistic, whatever. You can tell... that this sandwich, even though it looks very, very, very basic, is actually, like...
Quality?
Is actually quality. Because even though the bread is, like, it looks like slices of bread.
Right.
But even though it looks like that, you can tell that the crust on the outside is just perfect. And it's got the perfect amount of toast on it.
Does he get like a close-up so you see the texture
yes.
of the grain of bread?
And it's like a large grained bread.
Ooh.
So like you get all the grains in there and some herbs in
oh.
there. And you can tell that this bread has been handmade.
Oh.
And like that every single speck of salt in that bread was measured specifically.
And artfully, yeah.
Yeah. And so it is toasted perfectly. And then you can tell that all of the meat on the sandwich is like, it's like, it looks sort of like a tuna melt, but this is, they describe what fish
what particular type of wildlife it's probably from. Because Alderaan is one of the few planets with multiple biomes. Interesting fact, Alderaan has three distinct climates. They have a snowy zone, a temperate zone, and... a desert, as well as a coastal region that is known throughout the planet for the most glorious tuna, or whatever, giant sea fish.
And this particular one is the kind that you can only get in this tiny, tiny, tiny little bay.
Yes.
It only lives there, and it's, like, extra fatty and super hard to catch because there's all these other things around
like
that want to kill you. And So it's like super expensive, but also because it grows totally naturally in this protected environment. Because
it's a wild quat. And like, let's say 85% of the catch from this particular region is earmarked directly to the royal palace, to the royal family and their delegates. And actually, approximately 50% of that is sent off world to the Senate.
The glorious Imperial Senate. All hail.
Yes.
They get to eat good food there.
So not even kind the royal family gets as much as the empire does.
Oh, well, glorious empire. They deserve everything. So, I'm sorry. Just that makes me lose it every time. And then you can tell that this cheese, the melty bits and everything that's mixed in, and just like everything when they're describing it and talking to the chef is just like the peak. And whatever, like, the truffle thing, like, okay, so in the show, Steven's thing is truffles.
Okay.
Like, fancy, fancy truffles.
Okay.
And so, like, whatever the Star Wars universe's version of truffles is, like, the fancy sort of fungi thing that you put on stuff, it has that. But nicely integrated.
Okay.
Not just, like, you can just scrape as much on as you want to make it.
Right.
But it's exactly perfect the amount. And in fact, as they eat it, Steven says something like, I don't think I would want more truffle on this. Like, I think this is the perfect amount of truffle.
The right balance of...
Anyway, they eat and it comes out and you can tell that they're a little bit like, oh, there's no like golden crusted anything.
We're not eating off of like jewel encrusted silverware, the cutlery
that you
and
get
the
to
plate.
Take home, right? And that
it's
sort
not,
of stuff.
It's not like anything set on fire at the table side where it's a show as well as the.
It's a tuna melt, is what it is.
It's a good sandwich. It's got some history, but maybe it could be a little bit more flash.
And then they take a bite, and it's just. And they only have the one sandwich.
Okay.
Though actually, since this is a personal chef, they each have a sandwich.
Okay.
Because whatever, they're not actually paying
they're
for it.
They're not paying
anyway.
For it.
They each take a bite. And though this sandwich, like, it would be, like, because of that fish, it would be extremely expensive.
Right.
Even if you did.
If you could afford it.
It would be very expensive. Anyway, they, and this is, like, secret recipe from this chef.
It's the kind of food that Queen Brea has been eating since she was Princess Brea.
And then they take a bite, and just you can see both of their minds be blown at how good it is. And then we get the line about, I never thought you could get too much truffle, and yet I think more truffle than this would be too much. And yeah, there's some banter back and forth about how good it is and how they don't really want to drink other than water
with
it because it would ruin it, like...
It would take
so...
away from the perfect blend of salty, fatty acid.
And it's just delicate enough that you don't want to ruin it with anything else. And you don't want to, fudge the flavor in your mouth at all.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Adam gets his own. And again, he takes a massive... He just takes big bites out of stuff. Anyway, he eats it and just... You can see his entire face light up.
Because he doesn't usually react like very visibly, right? He's just sort of...
Yeah, he just sort of eats it and is like, yeah, that's good. But here you can see him light up and just like, oh. Okay. Then they're walking away. They're walking away having inexplicably...
It's now significantly darker out. It was,
you know,
early daylight. It was 11 or whatever.
Yeah.
It is now significantly late night.
Yeah. And
time has passed.
And they're walking around and they're like, okay. So we had three different sandwiches at three drastically different price points in three drastically different parts of the city. So which was your worth it winner?
I don't know. I feel like I want to say the sandwich we just ate, except that I don't know that I can say it's worth it if it doesn't have a price point. I don't know. It's not something that I can put a value on. I think I might be leaning towards towards Dex's Diner.
Yeah?
I think so. It was very homey and comforting, and it's the kind of thing that I could see myself enjoying a lot.
Yeah, for the price that it was.
For the price that it was, I could make room in the budget for a couple of those.
And I think, you know, I think I'm going to go with Dex's Diner, too. It's, like, it's nice and close to home. It's, and it's just that Gorbamel, like, that.
It just knocked you on your ass a little bit.
Yeah, I did really, really want to say the Alderaan sandwich, because I don't think I've ever had a more mind-blowing sandwich, but...
Although, like, I did really enjoy visiting Corellia,
yeah,
and getting to see that they were giving back to their community.
And
I
actually
think that's something,
yeah,
that more restaurants should be involved in, because we can't rely on only the Imperial Ministry of Family Services to help our neighbors.
They are also glorious.
Glorious and avid supporters and doing the best that they can and best that they do. But we can also always give back to the community.
Yeah, also, help our empire out, and help the less fortunate in our empire out.
Right.
So, Adam, which do you think is your worth it winner?
Corellia's.
Because he's up there, because he's tall.
Possibly. And that's it. Stick around, well, tune in next week for a very, very special season finale, where we take on something that we've been wanting to do for seasons and seasons, but needed so much time to really figure out. We are going to cover the Emperor's favorite food. Credits roll. The end. Hope you enjoyed this cantarina. It was so fun to make.
I hope we hit, like, the right notes for that. Because food porn is fun, but I was losing it.
I was losing it every single time. You went off about the glory of the Empire. I had to walk away.
Because they absolutely were leaving, like, relief supplies. Or,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, we didn't spend the full budget, so we're leaving, like, the bank book kind of thing at different, yeah, locations across the galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Okay. Okay. So, hope you enjoyed it. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave us feedback. If you have other ideas for their glorious tour.
The cuisine of a galaxy far, far away.
And yeah, if you have any ideas of that, awesome. Please leave us feedback at AO3. And you can find us at AO3 under either of our usernames.
Yeah. I have seen Worth It as a, I've watched a couple episodes and been like, oh, cool, this one's kind of by me or whatever, but not been like, okay, now I'm invested in the characters.
Okay, don't worry, I'm invested.
So are we thinking of this more as Steven and Andrew in Star Wars visiting,
yes,
restaurants,
yes,
and such?
Yes, and you can help me with the Star Wars, and I can help you with Steven and Andrew. That's what I'm thinking.
I like it a lot.
Okay, so here's my thoughts. Because, oh man.
Wikipedia has many, many options, in case you're not sure.
Okay, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to run this as an episode. of Worth It.
Okay.
So one episode of Worth It. So three different, so whatever sort of food that we choose.
That the particular, okay. Particular, and then three different price points.
Three different restaurants at three different price points.
I'm just worried that I'm going to accidentally make this like a Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives kind of thing. Because I feel like the $0 price point would be like someplace on the Outer Rim. The $2 price point is like obviously Dex's Diner on Coruscant. And the $3 price point is someplace like Mandalore or like Naboo or one of like the... Or yeah. Alderaan or something. It's one of the core worlds or that's Coruscant. Got like...
Oh, yeah, they already have one on Coruscant, but yeah.
Well, I mean, just because Dex's Diner is only restaurant we know exists on Coruscant for a planet literally...
I mean, that could be the $1 price point. It seems like that very diner-y, so okay. Very $1 price point.
Unless the expensive price point is like a restaurant on the Outer Rim. And pick their price points. It's not just... This is expensive because it took a lot of money to ship the ingredients to this location, right?
Oh, it
it's
can not be. Like it can't. So,
like, is it like lobster in like Alaska or something? Because you can't get a lobster then you have to airlift
okay.
it across the.
So here's the deal. Sometimes, so all of the food, with the exception, I think, of the gold-covered pizza, which you could see their faces when they were eating it.
That's
it was
not delicious.
It wasn't. It was actually not very good. Like, just seriously.
Not
like,
delicious.
Like, so part of it is just, this is the most expensive thing that we could find in this particular type of food.
Okay.
But it also has to be extremely tasty. And, or it's supposed to, like, that was the only thing. Everything else has been, like, the reason it's expensive.
Is because they're using high quality ingredients.
Like, ultra
and
high quality. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or like, a specific way. Like,
I know they did the charity bagel that's at the Westin in Times Square.
Yeah.
And that came up because it's kind of by where my roommate works.
Yeah. And they did, in the recent season, they did a cookie one where they were in Japan and this cookie costs like basically like $90 to $100. And it's because it's all hand piped.
Oh,
like,
geez,
and it was like the size of Steven's head.
Oh, and it's so much labor that goes into it.
Yeah.
So you're paying for just as much.
And it was gorgeous.
Oh.
Like, it was like a piece of... It wasn't like a piece of art. It was a piece of art. And then they all ate it, and they were like, it's so tasty. So, you know, like, it can also be the labor.
Okay.
And what it... They do also eat things like... Gold and truffle encrusted sundaes, parfaits, and like stuff like that, where it's just like it's obviously expensive for the sake of being expensive,
right?
And those hardly ever win.
Because something like that, like we could rule out like going to Alderaan for traditional, you know, Mandalorian cuisine, which is going to be more expensive because you have to.
No. This
right.
is
we're
going to
skip
like,
stuff like that in this universe.
And, yeah. Because they wouldn't do that. They would go to Mandalore
for authentic
Mandalorian cuisine
okay.
and get the best of the best over there type deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, according to Wikipedia, we have a shit ton of options.
Okay, so let's set up this episode.
All right.
On this episode of Worth It, we are going to... What kind of food are we doing?
That's...
Like, what kind of food does the... What does Dax's...
A roast meat...
We're doing meat?
I don't know.
We could just do meat. They've done stuff like that before.
Because then you have, like, wait, when does this take place? Is this pre-Empire or post-Empire?
Pre-Empire.
Is this pre-Empire?
We're going to go prequels.
All right.
Prequels timeline. We just have way more to play with, I think.
All right.
Way more sort of sumptuous.
Okay.
It's harder to believe that Steven and Andrew would be doing... Their Worth It experience post Empire or during the Empire.
I mean, they could be an imperially endorsed, like,
oh my gosh,
because
that's
they're
the funniest
they're
thing.
On like they're basically on a propaganda network, and they're
oh my god.
So when they're visiting,
do we
because then they could be visiting places that wouldn't ordinarily get imperial attention, and so like they're possibly also like, oh, we ordered the thing, we have way too much of the thing. We leave the thing behind and also our extra supplies for the rebellion.
Okay. So let's pull back and make this an actual coherent narrative.
Okay.
Because, oh my gosh. Okay, so, because I'm just gonna like snap twice and I'll
do the,
see.
Do the thing.
I'll see if there's anything before that that I can sort of salvage and pull in. But that was just a lot of talking for talking's sake.
We were establishing familiarity.
Okay,